Good morning, everyone. Thanks again for having me here at the Records Managers Forum. I thought I'd just give a really quick overview of the very key points. So I'll just go through those priority initiatives quite quickly this morning and talk a little bit about a summary of the information management framework, which is one of the key pieces that's of relevance to this group. And then I'd just like to tell you about three key areas of activity under the strategy that may be of interest. There's been an update to the cloud policy, also to the digital information security policy, and then the information asset register. It's not really launched because it did exist, but we're starting to just like really promote it and try and get word out and get data and registrations in. So I'll talk about those three things. And then finally, I'd like to recommend to you the ICT community of practice and recommend that as a really good thing for you to participate in. So the ICT strategy was launched in 2012, which is why some of you have heard about it quite a few times. And it's focused on developing five key service capabilities that support the delivery of better public services and better value ICT investment. So that's what you can see in the picture. Down on the far right-hand side, the better services and better value investment. And this is a strategy that's quite different from the old-fashioned IT strategy, which was really a technology roadmap. You know, first we're going to implement this system, and then we're going to move to these computers, and then we'll all be paperless, and it'll be fantastic. It's a really different kind of approach. It looks at these key service capabilities, being able to deliver services anywhere, anytime, community and industry collaboration being increased, delivering citizen-focused services, better information sharing, and being able to support government's financial and performance management. So you can see that data, information and records are going to be really fundamental pieces within that. And then in order to sort of deliver on those capabilities, the strategy outlines seven priority initiatives and then has a detailed work plan of activities under each initiative. So the initiatives are the vertical pillars that you can see in the colours. On the far left is Service New South Wales, and I'm sure some of you are already involved in transitioning particularly transactional services to be delivered through Service New South Wales. And of course there are records and information management responsibilities and issues to be addressed in that kind of a transition. The next pillar is open government, which is really about increasing transparency and accountability. So of course records have a role to play there. The two that we talk about the most often in this group are open data, which is the dark blue column, and the golden twins, as I like to call them, of information management and information sharing. So most of the things that are of interest and relevance to us fall under those pillars. Today I'm going to talk a bit about the cloud policy, which falls under the infrastructure and managed services. We also have work around procurement reform, different ways of sourcing ICT services, and then ways in which we develop ICT skills and innovation capability. So they're the columns of the ICT strategy, and that's about all I was going to go into at this stage. I mentioned also the information management framework as one of our key pieces of work that come out of the strategy that's very much aligned with the work of State Records and also the Information and Privacy Commission. So most of you will have seen this diagram before. This is the framework, as the name suggests. And basically it's made up of policies, guidelines and standards that aim to help agencies manage information in a more consistent and systematic way. So it's really where State Records provides a lot of assistance for you at the agency level. This is more like a way of getting the whole of government working in a common direction. It includes a lot of links to the standards and guidance from State Records and also to those from the Information and Privacy Commission. And it's organised according to seven principles that you can see across the top there in the colours: govern, collect, organise, secure, use, share and maintain. And then the way that the boxes work is that each box really illustrates something that's been highlighted as an activity to be delivered under the ICT strategy. And where they're coloured in black, that means that we finished them and they're available online. Where they're in grey, that means they're on the list of things to do and we're still in progress. And where there are white empty boxes, that's where we're still looking for new ideas, because, you know, it's not a static thing that one day we'll have this finished framework done. It's going to be an ongoing evolution and a process of development. As needs are identified, we add more to the framework. So I'll just talk briefly through those principles across the top just to explain what they are. The first one is that information is governed, that it's governed as an asset according to its value. And assets have different types of value, so some are more valuable and then they require much closer concentration and management, and others are not quite so important and we don't have to focus on them quite so much. So the govern is a way of making sure that the important things get the resources they need in a resource-strapped environment, but that we also can deprioritise some things so that, you know, we have something left for the things that are really important. We want to make sure the information is collected in line with standards so that we can share and reuse them and that they're fit for purpose. We want to make sure information is organised because that makes it easier to find and more efficient to manage if it's organised, especially with metadata. We want to see that it's appropriately secured and protected. So where information is sensitive, that it has the appropriate security and other kind of controls around it. But then we want to see information used and reused. So not just used once and then stored randomly, never found or reused again. We wouldn't want to reinvent the wheel. We want to use and reuse the same information as much as possible and get as much out of it as we can. And we also want to see that it's appropriately shared. So noting that in some cases there may be security or privacy concerns, but that doesn't mean it can never be shared. You need to understand who it can be shared with, how it can be shared, and that sharing is an important thing, both within government and also sharing with the public where that's also appropriate. And finally, the final column there is maintain. Of course, you want to make sure that information is maintained for as long as it's needed, as long as it has value, but then after that time that it's systematically and accountably disposed of. None of this is rocket science, especially to anyone in this room. The main purpose of these principles and the language around them is to really help to communicate our message of information management to non-experts, non-information and records professionals, people like CIOs and other senior executives, and to try to really connect the information management, the importance of information management to their business outcomes, to try and connect what we say is important and the value of information to achieving things within the business. That's the purpose here. But the other value of them to us is that we can use these principles as a lens to help us view our objectives and responsibilities in relation to a range of different policies. So each of the different policies, you can start to say, well, what would be the aspects of information governance in relation to this particular piece of work that's happening or this system that's being changed? What would be, what are the requirements for information security and how can I contribute to that? So I'll just sort of refer to these principles a little bit as I talk through some of the policy updates. Can you still hear me okay, or am I sort of... Yep, it's okay? Alright. Okay, so the first one I'll talk about then is the cloud services policy. Has anyone seen or read the cloud services policy before? Show of hands. Okay, a few, that's good. Perhaps more than I would have expected, but not as many as I might have hoped. So the cloud policy actually came out in August of 2013, so it's come up for revision and review. It's been through several rounds of consultation and it's due to go to the ICT board in April. So once it's been through that process, then it'll be published and made more widely available. Basically, the cloud policy requires agencies to consider cloud-based services in all their ICT procurements. So every time they're doing some kind of, you know, systems development project, they need to look at the cloud as a possibility. That doesn't mean they have to choose it, but they certainly have to think about it every time they do one of these activities. And so that's the existing policy statement, and that hasn't changed. What the update does is that it requires agencies to submit their plans for transitioning to more cloud services within 6 months of the update being published. So I think it's important for us to understand that there is this real pressure on agencies to start moving away from centrally maintained systems and to really look at how they can leverage as a service and managed environments. And as we know, there are data and information issues around that, so we need to think about how we can help to make those kind of risk assessments. Other things within the update is that it highlights the things that can help agencies to make this transition. So there are several other things within the ICT strategy that have been developed and promoted to help agencies that are making the transition. One of those are the government data centres. So, you know, not all information in the cloud has to be, you know, held in another country. It could be held quite locally by New South Wales Government in a New South Wales Government data centre. And there's also the ICT Services Catalogue, which lists lots of different suppliers that have been through a range of checks and balances, and agencies can sort of start to shortlist looking at suppliers there, and that can also help to reduce the risk. And the updated policy also includes a number of case studies just to help people get a sense of how this can work if they're really starting from scratch. And the other thing the updated policy includes, or in fact it carries over from the existing policy, is guidance from State Records and the Information and Privacy Commission about evaluating information risks when transitioning to the cloud. So it includes, you know, a range of bullet points and things to step through, questions to ask, and then links off to key guidance that comes from State Records and the IPC about, in particular, information risks relating to cloud. So those are reasons why the cloud policy should be of interest to you. It's not just about infrastructure, of course, it's about data as well. So records managers can help with implementing that policy by carrying out those information risk assessments, either in their entirety or even just parts of it. And if you look through the questions that are listed there as bullet points, and then you can see how they relate back to those information management principles. So of course the first thing you can start to do is think about what are the kinds of data that would be collected, stored and processed in this particular system that's being looked at for possible cloud provision. Is there any personal or health information in there? Is it sensitive for any other reason? And then if it's not, then there's a lower risk, but if there is, you can start to say, well, what would be the specific requirements and controls that are needed there? You can also bring to bear your knowledge about particular legislative and policy requirements. So, you know, the things that a lot of the IT people might be aware of may be the more centralised requirements, perhaps the State Records Act and the Privacy Act and GIPR, but they may not have the same level of knowledge as you do about laws and policies that are very unique to your agency or that apply to your particular sector. So you can bring some of those requirements to the table and help them, you know, to assess the risks that might be related there. There may be requirements that they weren't aware of that change the picture. Also helping evaluate what are the security requirements, again based on the sensitivity of the information, and helping design appropriate controls to manage the risk. Making sure that whatever the solution is that's chosen and the way that the contracts are developed, that they include the requirements around backup, disaster recovery and business continuity, particularly looking at whether it's a high-risk business system or a high-risk function, whether there are vital records for business continuity associated with this particular system. So you can bring all of those thoughts to the table as well. Of course, looking at access and accessibility as the other side of the coin for security, that, you know, who is it that needs to have access and can they if you move the system into this this new environment, and who shouldn't have access, and maintaining the accessibility of the data over time, particularly around metadata and metadata management. If you transition out of the service, can you get out the metadata that you need to be able to manage the information for its complete lifespan? And there's some more tips around that from that funny looking little link that I've put on the screen there. I hope you can read it, but I think the slides will also be made available if you can't. But it's called the ICT sourcing guidance or something like that. You can get it from the ICT strategy website, and it's got a checklist with these and more different points that you can work through, and then links off to the relevant guidance, as I said, either from State Records, from OFS, from the Information and Privacy Commission, to help you really navigate those in more detail. The actual link was really, really ridiculously long, so I just chunk it down. So I'm sorry it doesn't really make sense, but it's hopefully bite-sized. The next policy that's been recently updated is the Digital Information Security Policy. Again, this has been kicking around for about 2 years. It came out in November of 2012, and so it's been due for review as well. Anyone here read that one, been involved with things? Yeah, I think a lot more hands have been involved with the security policy, which is great. But it certainly, it's easier, I think, for people to understand that records and info people have something to contribute to the information security work, and they don't always necessarily make that connection with the cloud policy. So I think we just need to raise our hands and our voices at times to make sure that we get involved with these things. The main part of the policy, for those who haven't looked at this one, information security, is that it requires agencies to have what's called an ISMS, an information security management system, that's based on the assessment of risk to digital information and digital information systems. So that's really clearly articulated there, that risk assessment is the key driver, and that's the assessment of risk to both the information and the system. It requires that the heads of departments attest to the adequacy of their information security controls, and they have to do that in their annual reports, and that is basically going to Parliament. So that has really focused very senior leaders on the need for good information security and the state of their systems, which hasn't always been awesome, but the great thing is that, you know, it is an opportunity for information and records managers to contribute and to start to then raise awareness about some of the controls that we've already developed, you know, perhaps in certain business processes, but that could then be extended into other processes and systems. What the update does is that it takes account of some revisions to ISO 27001, which is the international standard around information security. And the updates to that standard, and therefore to our policy, really highlight staff training as an important control. And that's something that's been overlooked. There's often a lot of focus on what's the technology, you know, what are the user access groups, and what are the virus scans and things that I can put in place from a technological perspective. And they forget that one of the biggest risks, but one of the biggest potential strengths, is actually the people who are handling the information themselves. So it's really starting to stress the need for staff training and awareness of their responsibilities and, you know, giving them the capability to manage information better. So let's see if there was one other thing. Oh, the other thing that was added into the update is that agencies regularly test their disaster recovery strategies, and that came out of an audit requirement. The Auditor General found that agencies didn't have good disaster plans and weren't regularly testing them. So there's a requirement now that they need to regularly test those at planned intervals. Again, how records managers can help. I'm sure a lot of you are already doing this, and I just draw your attention again back to those principles around govern, collect, organise, secure, use, share and maintain. I'll tell you how many times I've read it, if I can list them off the top of my head. But, you know, bear those in mind when you think, how can we help with information security? You can really bring your experience to bear, in particular security classification and labelling. I'm sure that's what a lot of you who've been involved with the policy are helping with that. It was one of those areas where, from OFS perspective, we were working quite a lot with an information security group around the policy for maybe a year, and they were becoming very frustrated with the requirements around classification and labelling. They really just thought it was going to be impossible to address. And then what became clear to us working through that was that there were hardly any records managers involved in the group, and we had assumed that the information security people would go back to their agency and seek out the experts, the people who knew how to do this, to get the help, but they didn't. You know, they just sat there and freaked out and said, oh my God, this policy requires me to do really hard stuff and it's impossible. We need to maybe undermine the policy or get them to change the policy. You know, they were trying all these kind of strategies, but they didn't think to ask their records people. And all it took was for us to start to get a few records people to come along to those groups and say, we already do this. We do this in TRIM, we do it in Objective, we do it with our paper files, we have it in a whole bunch of different processes already, and we can just leverage that, you know, we can extend that into different systems, and if you explain to us the problem, we can help you figure it out. And that was what really started to shift that group forward, and now they're very positive and engaged, and it's really making a lot of progress. So if you're not already involved in the classification and labelling work, I encourage you to do so. It's a very positive and proactive group as well. Other things that you could consider, whether information security can be incorporated into any training that you already provide. You know, it might just be simple, or whether it just needs to be updated. And also integrating security controls into your processes if that's not already joined up. The other thing that information and records managers can do is, I think, really help bring some balance in reflecting on the different and competing requirements around either business needs for information, the needs for security and protecting data in different ways, but also public interest in relating to access and making available information either internally or externally. I think because records managers have this holistic picture of all the different stakeholders that may have an interest in the information and the different elements of the legislative and policy environment, can really help to bring some perspective to bear. Information security specialists are often mostly fixated on locking the information down. You know, that's their key priority, and they may not always think about the fact that security and sharing are not necessarily mutually exclusive. If you have good security controls, you can share safely with the people who are able to access that information. So, you know, having a structured approach doesn't mean no one can access it, but it means that just the right people can access it. So I think helping bring some balance there is important, and also making sure that security controls don't then impede the long-term accessibility of data and information. So, and there's a couple of different things there. One example, I guess, is making provisions for ongoing declassification of information. So it may not need to be top secret forever, and over time it could be progressively declassified so that more people could have access. Or otherwise, from a slightly more technical perspective, the ability to decrypt encrypted information. So it's not 20 years later you find there's this encrypted information, no one's got the key anymore. It's really useful, it's important, it's long-term or historical information, but it's become inaccessible because of the security controls that were applied. So I think bringing your expertise to that as well is useful and important. And that brings me to the third and I guess the final sort of area of update activity, which is about the Information Asset Register. Who heard of that before I mentioned it today? Okay, back row deserves some kind of brownie points. I don't know. Everyone down the back of Lincoln State Records, and that's why they know about it. So what the Information Asset Register is, this fantastic portal to help agencies share information assets. That's what it's for. And it's linked to Data New South Wales, which is why everyone at State Records knows all about it. And it's also very complementary, of course, to OpenGov. And so while Data New South Wales is for open data and OpenGov is for openly published, open access to publications, the Information Asset Register is for helping agencies share information internally to government. So the information may not be able to be made publicly available. There could be some sensitivities around it, but you can share it with other government agencies. So what you can do is register it in the Information Asset Register. It's only accessible by New South Wales government staff. People busily writing, I'm afraid to click on, but you can get the slides a bit later as well. This has got a little bit of a picture of what it looks like. The Information Asset Register itself doesn't actually contain any data. It is just a catalogue, and what it does, it enables you to search for these things all in one place, even though they might be held by all sorts of different types of government entities and accessible in all sorts of different ways. And what it does, you can search in one place, and then you come up with the information about where and how to find it. You know, who do you contact, where is it held, some of the information about what are its accessibility requirements and restrictions, if there are any, licensing and things like that. So it just helps you to search and point you in the right direction for data that you could reuse. But it's not just about data. It's a place where we register what we call core value information assets. So what does core value mean? Well, the things, if you take a look at, in particular, the data and information custodianship policy, it's really looking for information assets that are best aligned with New South Wales government strategic objectives. So what are things that are going to help New South Wales government deliver on some of its high-level strategic activities? It could be assets that are central for the progress or development of the state, so things that are being relied on for some pretty significant types of work, but also things that are required for frequent use and reuse by by different functions and services. And that's really, I think, one of the most important and valuable points. If you think about some data like births, deaths and marriages, that's the kind of data set that's used and reused in a lot of different processes to support lots of different functions across government. But you don't want everybody to build and maintain a birth, death and marriage register. You know, that would be really inefficient, and you can bet your bottom dollar we'd all have a different one. So what we want to do is identify who is the custodian of that really important data set, and then we register that. And then that custodian is responsible for maintaining and sharing the data set with others. And then we're all reusing the same data set. So not only is that less effort for everybody, but also we know that we're more consistent because we're all using that same base data. So that's really, and you know, it's not necessarily data that can be publicly shared. And then the second sort of aspect to that phrase is the information assets part. So we talk a lot about the data, and at the moment there's probably about 100 different core value data sets that are listed in the register. But what we're building out is more than that. It's also a register of information processing infrastructure and information management competencies. These are also information assets. And what you'll find in there then is, for example, something like State Records Digital State Archive. The Digital State Archive contains data and information that is of core value to the state and that we all want to use for different reasons. The Digital State Archive has this processing infrastructure for preservation, and we don't want to all necessarily have to build that. We want to make use of the centrally available technology. And then State Records, of course, has this specialist information management competency around digital preservation, and we want to be able to draw and leverage on that. So the Digital State Archive is one good example of core value information assets. Another is land and property information. You know, they carry responsibility for a lot of the foundation spatial data sets for the state. They have infrastructure, SIX, the Spatial Information Exchange, and of course they have a lot of know-how around spatial data and how to manage it that we can all draw upon. And there are others as well that are listed in there. So it's not just data and information, but there's lots of other things. And what I'd encourage you to do is to get in there and have a look at it and think about what your agency does that could be registered in here. Some of the benefits of registering your information assets in the register are promoting and sharing them easily, but also streamlining the processing of requests. So if you are used to getting a lot of inquiries and that can be quite cumbersome to manage, this is a way of putting a bit of structure around the process. So maybe people already know what you've got, but they don't know what perhaps some of the restrictions are around it. So this is a way that you can incorporate that into the registration and people can come to you a bit more informed. As a user, as I said, you've got one-stop shop to do your searching for data and information. You can also identify what is the authoritative source and save the duplication of data collection. And you can also potentially make use of tools and expertise, you know, around that information processing infrastructure or those information management competencies. So there's a lot of benefits there for using the information asset register. And more importantly, if something isn't there and it's not yours to register, then you can request it. So you know you don't know who would have it, you think there should be something available, you don't know where to start, then you can make that request, and then that will also help us start to populate the information asset register. Requesting an account's dead easy. Just go to, if you go to data.newsouthwales, and then you'll be able to follow the tabs through to the information asset register. There's a really super duper simple form there. Just fill out the fields and hit proceed, and then we'll receive your request and process it accordingly. And there's a few different access levels to the register as well, just to think about. You can just be a viewer, which means you can search for metadata and you can see the contact details when you find something you're looking for. You could be it's called a data set creator. They can search as well, but they can also create new entries into the register. And then the highest level of access then can create, delete and edit entries in the register for your agency. So some can just create something new and others can change it all up as necessary. And then the last thing I wanted to do, which is not really, it's not something coming out of the information management framework or anything like that. I just really wanted to give a plug to the ICT community of practice. Has anyone attended any of the community events? Again, back row, top points, everybody else? Not so much. Many of you know Kate Cumming, one of our favourite records people, previously state records people, but now just a colleague amongst other things. Kate was a really big driver of the ICT community of professionals, and she continues to be, even though she's moved to the City of Sydney. And, you know, it's a really exciting and fun group. They host a lot of really interesting activities with a very diverse range of participants. So even though it says ICT professionals, it's absolutely not sort of for high-tech, you know, migrating from server X to the cloud, blah, blah, blah. They really look at a whole range of different things. What you can see there is they've got two events coming up in April. The first one is the Great Debate. They do one of those every year. The topic there is that the always connected digital age has improved the quality of life today for government and for citizens. Can't wait to hear that one. They always have some interesting people with very divergent points of view on that. So that'll be fun. That's on the 27th of April at the Mint. And the other is that they're launching a special interest group around mobility. And that's happening on the 16th of April. So if you follow the link there, you can find out more about that community of practice. And I just really encourage you to be involved, because you can find out about all different sorts of things that are going on that do impact on the records and information space in the digital age. So just encourage you on that one. So that's everything from me.